This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Wa ba'd. Respected brothers, elders, sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. The ta'if, the occasion of ta'if or the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very difficult occasion. Actually, the most difficult occasion in his life. When Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Messenger of Allah, what was the most difficult time in your life? The Messenger of Allah said that it was the... So she said, was it Uhud when 70 Sahaba were martyred? He said, no. It was Ta'if. When he went to give them dawah and they chased him out and they made the urchins and the lowlifes of the city pelt him, and the Messenger of Allah had nobody around him to help him. His uncle Abu Talib had just passed away. His wife Khadija radiallahu anha had just passed away. So Allah now wanted to console the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that don't worry about what the people of the dunya think about you. See what we in the heavens think about you. So inna ma'al usri yusra. After every difficulty, Allah gives many, many eases. And this is why we should also have the asool, the principle, that don't endeavor to make people happy because you'll lose. Try to make Allah happy and you will win, because ultimately, like the Messenger of Allah was taken up to the heavens, you and I will leave this dunya, and we and you and I will leave everybody behind us. Nobody will go into your grave or my grave. It's just you and your actions. So like Allah showed the message of Allah, look, the people of dunya don't care about you, but look how we regard you. Similarly, we don't care about what the people of the dunya think about us. You know why? See, all our lives, we endeavor to make people happy. And if you're making them happy because making another believer is the greatest action that you can do, but if it's just making them happy for the sake of making them happy, irrespective of your breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember, all those people that you try to make happy, when you leave this dunya, all they will say is, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He came from Allah. We all come from Allah. He came from Allah, and to him he's gone back. That is the only thing they will say about you. And that's, subhanAllah, such an amazing statement. Why? Because why endeavor to please those who will have no bearing on your outcome? Even they testify, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He came from Allah, and he's gone back to Allah. So this occasion was straight after Ta'if, or shortly after Ta'if. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the masjid, and the narrations differ. So there is many narrations on the issue of the Isra Miraj. I will just keep it to one narrative without going into the ikhtilafat regarding Isra wal Miraj. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the masjid, and the angels come. And firstly, they split the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in some narrations, he was in his home, and the roof opened. Normally, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come through the door or some other means, but this time, the ceiling opens, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descends, and then he's taken to Zamzam. And by Zamzam, they split his heart and they clean it with the water of Zamzam. So from there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on a mulish kind of animal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken to on the Isra. Allah says, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. Pure is he who took his servant from masjid al aqsa to masjid al haram. Now, This issue of the Isra and Miraj has always been an issue of contention for many, many people. So Allah says, when this occurred, one of the reasons that Allah allowed this to occur, to test, and many in the time of the Messenger of Allah fell into fitna. So the Prophet ﷺ now comes back. He comes back from the Isra and the Miraj, and the next morning he meets no other than Abu Jahl. So Abu Jahl says sarcastically, "So Muhammad, what's new?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Last night I traveled from here, from Mecca, all the way to Jerusalem." He said, "You did that in a portion of war last night?" He said, "No, it doesn't stop there. After that, I had the Miraj. I went to the heavens. I met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So Abu Jahl said, "Are you ready to tell the people that this happened?" And the Messenger of Allah said, "Yes." So he gathered the people of Mecca. And he said, "Tell them." So the Messenger of Allah said, "Last night I traveled from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis." They said, "You did that all in a portion of last night?" He said, "Yes." He said, "It doesn't stop there. From there I went to the heavens." The narration mentioned that some of them began to clap. Some of them placed their hands on their heads. Some of them began to slap their thighs. And some who were weak in iman, they said, "Impossible." And they turned away. And Allah mentioned in the Quran that one of the reasons that Isra and Miraj was done, to see the iman of believers. That do you have belief in the unseen? Do you really believe what Allah and His Rasul are saying? So they said, "Okay, who's his closest guy?" "It's Abu Bakr." "So let's go to Abu Bakr. Even Abu Bakr won't buy this one." So they go to Abu Bakr, they rush to Abu Bakr, and they said, "Oh, Abu Bakr, you know what your companion is saying?" He said, "What? What's he saying?" They said that he's saying that last night he traveled from Masjid al-Aqsa to Bayt al-Maqdis, and then from there he went to the heavens. And Abu Bakr said, "Awaqala dhalik." "Did he actually say that?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Idhan sadaq." Then he's speaking the truth. He said, "What's so surprising about that?" He said, "Often I am sitting with him, and Jibreel is sent by Allah from the heavens to him with revelation. If on occasion Allah wants to take him to the heaven, what's so surprising after that?" It was after this that he was given the title of Siddiq, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this is how Allah tests believers with their iman. What's your iman like? Do you believe what Allah and His Rasul is saying? And is your actions conform to what you are saying? This is what Allah checks in a believer. That is your actually iman strong? Is your iman the one of the first qualities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran? يؤمنون بالغيب. True believers. This Quran is Hudal lil Muttaqeen. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Those who have a belief in the unseen. You haven't seen Allah. You haven't seen Jannah and Jahannam. But you believe in Jannah and Jahannam with a firm conviction. And Allah says, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. Why does Allah start with Subhanalladhi? Pure is He. Free from faults is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has no imperfections. Because see, this issue of Isra and Miraj has always been a fitna for people. Even today people say, "Isra and Miraj? You're trying to tell me that he traveled all the way from here to there to the heavens? Impossible! Laylatan in one night?" So Allah, the first word Allah used is pure, perfect. Allah is the one who has no faults. Allah is more powerful than anything around Him. That, you know what? Allah is the one who can do anything and everything. There is no limit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, let me take it from day to day. You have a guy who's just benched 200 kilos, yeah? And you think, but the guy is thin, weak, etc. You'll come to the rational conclusion, no way he can do that. No way. But then there's another guy, he's known. You know, he can bench press, you know, he's known to pick up big. So according to him, you say, yeah, he can do it. Of course he can do it. Why? Because you have knowledge of that person's strength. Whilst the first one's, you know, he's a weakling, he's weak. SubhanAllah. For Allah, who created this from nothing, who created the entire world, to take a person from Makkah to Bayt al-Maqdis in one night, of course Allah can do that. And that's why Allah starts with SubhanAllah asra bi abdihi. La ilaha illallah. The most important night in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him Abd. He doesn't say Nabi. He doesn't call him Rasul. Abd. Why? Because this is a lesson for believers. The highest status that a Muslim can attain is to become the servant of Allah. Allah chooses his Nabis. Allah chooses his Rasuls. As far as Abd. See, if you are Abd of anything else, it's humiliation. Yeah? So you are a slave of another person, humiliation. The Messenger of Allah said, Ta'isa Abdul Dirham wa Abdul Dinar. May Abdul Dirham, the slave of the dirham and the dinar, the pound and the penny, be destroyed. It's a disgrace. But when you become the servant of Allah, La ilaha illallah, there is no higher status. And that's why Allah says, Subhanalladhi abda, Subhanalladhi bi abdihi laylan. Allah uses the word laylan. He doesn't, for those who know Arabic, he uses it nakira, tankir, which means a small portion of the night, not even the whole night. Small portion of the night Allah took him from Makkah to Bayt al-Maqdis to the heavens, and he returned back home, just a small portion of the night. Min al-Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah says, Min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. So the Prophet, he was taken where? From Makkah to Masjid al-Aqsa. Why? Because of the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. Because Allah wanted to show the centrality of Masjid al-Aqsa. Allah wanted to show to us what Masjid al-Aqsa is. What that part of the world is. SubhanAllah. This week is known as the National Aqsa Week. People all over the world are giving talks remembering Masjid al-Aqsa. Why? Because there was a reason that Allah took the Messenger of Allah on his most important night of his life. He didn't take him anywhere else. He didn't even take him to Medina. He took him to Masjid al-Aqsa to show to the believers the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. Makkah, Medina, and then Masjid al-Aqsa. The most important. And this is why we can never ever forget the importance of Masjid al-Aqsa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches Masjid al-Aqsa, he ties the buraq and he goes in. Now I want you to honestly imagine this. Just imagine this. Just envisage this. He goes into the Masjid al-Aqsa and then he leads the salah. La ilaha illallah. We're going to pray salah soon, yeah? So the imam is going to stand there, he's going to look around, and although there's a bit of gaps, he's going to say, straighten your softs. And he's going to see this brother, this brother, this brother, this brother, and all of you. The Messenger of Allah stands on the musalla and he looks behind him. Normally when he would look behind him, he would see Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abu Dharr, radiyallahu anhum. You know, the great Sahaba. But imagine this salah, la ilaha illallah. Today he turns around and he looks and he sees Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. He sees Adam, sees Yusuf. He sees Suleiman. He sees Yunus. He sees all those anbiya, those that we don't even know their name. According to many narrations, over 100,000. There is no place on the face of this earth where a more holier salah has ever been prayed. There is no place on the face of this earth that every step that you take, every single step that you take, you will be walking where a Nabi prayed. Alayhim salatu wasalam. This is why Masjid al-Aqsa holds some real important status in this ummah. You know, people, you look at your leaders today, and you see one after the other, they're selling out the Palestinians. One after the other, one after the other. And you stand here in Birmingham and you think, can I do? What difference can I make? All these leaders are normalizing relationships at the expense of the human rights of the Palestinians, normalizing rights with apartheid state, normalizing rights over that place, which is the third holiest place, Masjid al-Aqsa. And the truth is that you and I start thinking, well, there's nothing I can do. No, there's always something you can do. The minimum you can do is make dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person doesn't see a munkar, an evil, as an evil, ذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. There is no iman which is less than that. There is no iman less than that. And this is an issue of an ummah. You know, many places in the world, believers are being oppressed. You look all over, look at the Burmese, you look at Congo, you look at this place, you look at that place. But why this has a different essence is because it not only is the oppression of the believers, it's these believers have stood fast, steadfast for 70 years, but it also has a very religious dynamic to it. And that is Masjid al-Aqsa. And this is why. Listen, even you never ever hear a khatib for the rest of your life ever mention Masjid al-Aqsa, ever mention Jerusalem, ever again, it's still your obligation to have a fikr for it because Allah and His Rasul mention it. If you look into history, and this is not detracting anything away from the Arabs, but if you look into history, many of those who had the greatest fikr for Masjid al-Aqsa weren't Arabs. Salahuddin was a Kurd. His teacher Nuruddin Zinki was Turkish. Nuruddin Zinki had such a favor. There would have been no Salahuddin if there was no Nuruddin Zinki. One was a Kurd, one was a Turk. Nuruddin made a pulpit. Within his lifetime, he made a large pulpit. He said, the day I conquer Masjid al-Aqsa, the day we take Masjid al-Aqsa back from the Crusaders, this pulpit I am going to place in Masjid al-Aqsa. Nuruddin passes away. His dream is not fulfilled. But he prepared Salahuddin. Salahuddin takes Masjid al-Aqsa. And when he takes Masjid al-Aqsa, what does he do? He remembers the pulpit of his teacher in Damascus, in Sham. And he sends for the pulpit of his teacher. And that pulpit is placed in the masjid. And the Jummah khutbah is given on the pulpit of Nuruddin Zinki, rahmatullah alayh. The only place in his over 10 years of as a khalif where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu left the Hijaz and traveled. Why? Because Umar wanted to. Umar's famous dua, oh Allah, give me shahadat in Medina. give me death in Medina, give me shahada in your path. So he wanted to stay in Medina because he wanted to be die in Medina, but he also wanted martyrdom. And this is why he didn't want to leave Medina. But the only time Umar left and went all the way to Bayt al-Maqdis to pick up the keys for Masjid al-Aqsa, only time. Because Aqsa is central to our belief. And this is why, brothers, you know, when you see the many of the people, and this is leaders, the general public love Masjid al-Aqsa. And I'm telling you because I've driven, for those who know, all the way from here, from Birmingham, all the way to Gaza, through the entirety of North Africa to go to Gaza on the convoy. And the people, you know, we sometimes look at the leaders and we think the people are like the leaders. No, the people are not like the leaders. Wallahi, they would stop us. They would throw things in our vans while we're passing, cakes, everything. They would empty their tills when we would go into their shops. This ummah, you know, they often say that leaders are reflective of the ummah. Not a full case. And therefore, we should never get disheartened from these people. Tilkal ayyamu nudawiru bayna nas. These are the days Allah says we rotate amongst people. Today you're high, tomorrow you're low. Today it's out of your hands, tomorrow it will be in our hands. So we never become despondent. But remember, we have an obligation to Masjid al-Aqsa. We have a great, great obligation to the Palestinians. Why? Because they have been defending Masjid al-Aqsa for the last 70 years. And you cannot appreciate my words unless you go there. Honestly, I don't think there's any other people on the face of this earth, and Allah knows best, who would have the same zeal after 70 years. The world has disowned you. The world doesn't care. You've been minced. But still, subhanallah, you're standing and fulfilling the fard-e kifaya on behalf of this ummah. So my apologies, I know I was meant to speak on Isra, but this is a part of Isra Miraj. Inshallah, we will carry on for the next couple of weeks, inshallah. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of strong iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a strong belief in the ghaib, like Isra Miraj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of our brothers and sisters in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return and properly return Masjid al-Aqsa into the hands of the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make many people amongst us who have the same fikr of people like Salahuddin. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.